Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY 2023 earnings conference call of GMM Pfaudler Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Priyanka Daga from GMM Pfaudler Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Michelle. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. A very warm welcome to all of you into the quarter two FY 2023 earnings call of GMM Pfaudler Limited. The earnings presentation was uploaded on the stock exchange last evening and is also available on our website. Hope all of you had a chance to go through it. From the management, we have with us our Managing Director, Mr. Tarak Patel, our CEO of International Business, Mr. Thomas Kehl, our CEO of India Business, Mr. Aseem Joshi, our CFO of International Business, Mr. Alexander Poempner, and our CFO of India Business, Mr. Manish Poddar. We will give you a brief overview of the performance of the company, after which we will get into the Q&A. Before we begin with the overview, a brief disclaimer. The presentation which we have uploaded on the stock exchange and on our website, including our call discussions that will happen now, contains or may have certain forward-looking statements concerning our business prospects and profitability, which are subject to several risks and uncertainties, and the actual results could materially differ from those in such forward-looking statements. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Patel to provide an overview of the performance. Over to you, Tarak.
Thank you, Priyanka, and good afternoon to everybody. We are happy to report a strong quarter with a revenue growth of close to 21% year-on-year. Our EBITDA margins have also improved in 0.2%, and our order intake has also increased 6% year-on-year. As for the order backlog, it stands currently at 2,119 crores, which gives visibility for the next 6-9 months as well. We continue to see a lot of traction both in the chemical and pharmaceutical spaces around the world, and we believe that both the international business and the India business will continue to do well, which will be driven by these two main industries. The international business had really well this quarter, both in terms of revenue and profitability. Our European business, in spite of the higher energy cost, and the cost reduction measures that we have taken, has done quite well. We believe that looking into the future, the European business will kind of stabilize with energy prices now stabilizing and also kind of going down. We've also completed the acquisition of Hydroair Research Italia. This is a company that we had acquired a few months ago. That acquisition is now complete. This company deals in membrane separation systems and opens up new industry parts as well. We've also completed the acquisition of the balance 46% in GMM International S.à r.l. As many of you know, GMM was the subsidiary of the company and now is own subsidiary of GMM Pfaudler Limited, with 100% of the profits accruing from Q3 onwards. We also have reaffirmed our credit ratings both by CRISIL and ICRA, AA- and A1+ respectively. We also completed recently our first investor/analyst day, which was held in September 2022. Now to give you a little bit more color on the numbers, both consolidated and standalone, I would like to invite Manish Poddar, CFO of the India business, to take you through the numbers, please. Manish?
Thank you, Tarak. Good evening, everyone. To start with the consolidated balance sheet, we see our NCI, the non-controlling interest, has netted. That's because we just acquired the balance 46% of the Pfaudler International. Going forward, you'll see 100% of the profits accruing to us. Similarly, the debt has increased primarily on account of the debt that you're acquiring this stake. Pension liabilities have gone down substantially on account of rising interest rates, and therefore the present value of the liabilities, future liabilities, going down. Moving on to the good tangible, there have been some addition on account of the hydro air investment that we made in Italy. Similarly, talking about a few ratios, the net debt is 767 minus 300, so it's a 467 crores, and so net debt to equity stands at 0.7. EBITDA to net debt to EBITDA stands at 1.1. Moving on to capital, there's a slight increase in the working capital. Some debtors need to be recovered on in the standalone business for India. There have been some increase in the working capital overall, primarily on account of heavy engineering taking larger share of the business. And then moving on to the cash flows, so there has been business cash generation of 231 crores and investment of 251 crores on the working capital and the capex, and the balance has been primarily on account of repayments of the debts and the interest thereon. Moving on to dividend, the EPS, we have the annualized EPS would turn out to be something like 50 rupees if we analyze it for the H1 results. And the ROE and ROCE have also improved substantially to 29.2 and 33%. That's it for me. Priyanka, you want to take it forward?
Thank you, Manish. Michelle, we can now open the line for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Venkatesh Balasubramaniam from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for this opportunity. My first question is to Manish, more like a bookkeeping question. I believe that if you actually look at the numbers, second quarter numbers, your EBITDA is close to around 119 crores for the consolidated entity. The standalone entity has done 42 crores and Mavag and Fodler Inc. has done 70 crores. So 42 and 70 adds up to 112. And there is another positive 7 crores. So is there anything else in the company that we are missing here? Because ideally, if you look at the numbers last year, usually when you added the numbers which you gave in your standalone EBITDA and your international EBITDA, you had to actually do some elimination of 6 or 7 crores to get the consolidated EBITDA. But since the first quarter of the current year, it's slightly different. When you add up your standalone numbers which you put in your PPT and the international numbers, you have to actually add a small number to get to the consolidated EBITDA. So can you please explain this?
Yeah, good catch, Venkatesh. Yes, that's true. That is primarily on account of, so it's a pure accounting concept per se, you know. So what happens is, when you expose something from India to Germany,
So when you export from India to, say, Germany or US in this case, so you accrue to the profits in the standalone business in the earlier quarters. However, in the console, you get the profits, the entire profits of standalone and international business once you sell it out from the group, which happened in Q2. So therefore, the shipments for which India shipped before Q2 and international business then moved out to the ultimate customer in Q2, the entire profits of standalone and console accrued to this. So that's where the 7 crores of positive is there. You may see this small number positive or negative depending upon which quarter was higher or lower going forward as well.
Okay. Understood. That is very clear. Now, I also remember that Mr. Patel had given a some kind of color after the first quarter result, where he said that as of now, you are executing your orders with high cost inventory of steel, and you are expecting that given steel prices have come down, second half of the year, your margin should be better. Now you've already got to 15.2% consolidated margins in the second quarter. So is it reasonable to assume that you can still, margins can go up even further from here in the second half? And would this be more led by the, what exactly do you expect happens to the standalone numbers, because which have contracted quite sharply on a YOY basis in the first half? So are you expecting that to improve, or you're expecting more of an improvement in the international part of the business?
Sure. So Venkatesh, so I think YOY comparison for standalone may be a bit of a aberration, simply because that was first two quarters of the year FY22 where we got the release, but we're still consuming the old plates. And now exactly that's the opposite has happened in these two quarters of this current financial year. And that's why you see that huge difference between the 25% and the 16.5-17% sort of a number. We expect this to get normalized in second half of the year. So this 16.5-17% should now Q3 and Q4, we should see one or two maybe improvement there on a standalone basis. International business may has already enhanced its performance to something like 13%. So we expect something like 12-13% to continue for them as well.
Okay, okay. Just one last question, if I may. What would be a reasonable effective tax rate for the full year for the consolidated entity?
Yeah, so effective tax being something like 27%. If you're alluding to this quarter per se, so there have been a deferred tax credit back, and there's a much lower percentage, but that's not a true reflection on a sustained basis. On a sustained basis, something like 27% of an effective tax rate is...
Okay. Thanks for those inputs. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Utsav Mehta from Edelweiss AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Thanks for taking my questions. I'll just continue on the previous question. So does that mean that from what we reported in this quarter, the international margins should sort of normalize back towards 12-13? Whereas India will pick up. Is that correct? Is my understanding correct?
Yeah, that's correct. That international business has already, I think, improved considerably in recent past from 10%.
No, I asked because it's at 15 right now. This quarter was, I think, around 15-ish. Sorry, not 15-ish.
15 is the console number. 15% is the consolidated number, international at 13%, India is at 16.5%. So India, you can expect 16.5% to go up, and PFI or the international business primarily, you may expect to sustain.
Okay,
now,
sorry, I get now, my confusion. Actually, I was adding back the 7 crores.
No, you're right. So what has also happened, you know, yeah, the 7 crores will, yeah, give you that differential.
Okay, sorry, you were saying something?
No, so I think, yeah, that 7 crores is going to give you that differential as well between the numbers, the A plus B, and you know, the India and the business plus.
That may or may not repeat in the coming quarters, basically. That's,
yeah, you yeah, on a steady state, yeah, right.
Okay, fair enough. Tarak, I just wanted to check. So it's been 4 quarters running. The order book on an absolute basis, it's around 2100 odd crores. If you could just provide some flavor in terms of where do you see this number go, and do you believe that, you know, what does it take for this to go to 23, 24, 2500 crores? Is there enough in the market for this number to continue to go up?
Right. So I think on the order front, I think like I mentioned to you, I think we're already at quite a sweet spot for the international business. I think having any more backlog means longer delivery time. So that would not be the right place to be at. But I think where we could probably grow order intake is here in India. I've spoken about this in the last few conference calls where I've said that we have been very selective in terms of glass lining business to a point that no to customers when the pricing did not meet our requirement. And having said that, we were also waiting for some of the larger the projects to come through from our key clients so that when those large projects do materialize, we have enough of the capacity for that. We've just started seeing a big large order intake happening in the glass-lined business here in India. So I think looking forward, you will see the India backlog increase, which is right now currently at maybe even for the glass-lined business around 4 months. But, you know, being around 4 to 6 months for us is just the right, you know, the sweet spot. So I think we still have some capacity here in India to increase order intake. And I think the glass line area here in India is going to be a big driver for us in the next few quarters.
And if I'm not mistaken, the Karamsad furnace now we should be able to take on more in terms of the amount of orders we can do, correct?
Right. So this, I was actually going to say this in my opening remarks and it completely slipped my mind. But yes, we have now commissioned the 80,000 liter furnace, which is, you know, India's the biggest furnace and obviously will cater to super large vessels, not only for India, but also for the international business. We've actually received an order for 380,000 liter storage tanks. That's already in our books and the fabrication has started. We're expecting another 80,000 liters. So as soon as this, the timing has been just the perfect because as soon as this this furnace came online, these orders have now they come in. So yes, that will also help us improve both our shipment and the number of EUs that we have that we can manufacture here in India.
Yeah. Fantastic. And just one last question. You know, apart from receivables in India, I've also noticed other financial assets sort of increased by 50 crores over the last 6 months. Typically, this tends to be unbilled revenue, but I just wanted to clarify what this number is.
Yeah, you're right, Utsav. Can you hear me, Utsav?
Yeah, I can hear you. I just wanted to ask the reason why receivables and unbilled revenue both have gone up.
So receivables, of course, have gone up primarily. There's some collection, that we need to make, and we expect this to improve in coming quarter. That is one. But the POC, you're right, the unbilled revenues have also scaled up overall in the business, both in India and international business.
And this is just to do with the scale at which we are operating or because in terms of
some extent, I think there's some 90 crores of POC addition that has happened this H1. And we expect this to maybe something like 30-40 should improve over in H2. But that beyond that should remain in the business.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for your time and best of luck.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to answer questions from all participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Tanaya from Marcellus Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, go ahead, Tanaya.
So congrats on a strong set of numbers. Just a couple of quick questions. So if I look at your standalone business, the other expenses just above the EBITDA, they have gone up by around 20 crores on a yearly basis. Could you kind of provide some color on that?
Manish?
Can you please repeat which number are you talking to?
Manish, 20 crores of other expenses has increased.
Expenses have increased by 20 crores, primarily on account of power and fuel, if you refer to vis-a-vis last YOY, and also the stores and spares, primarily because, in heavy engineering, again, the combination of changes is taking an impact. And also there's some freight outwards because we had a larger export shipment. So freight outward, particularly in this H1 has, or Q2 actually has been also higher.
Okay. And sir, this pension liabilities reduction on the consolidated level, that is purely because of interest rate going up. You haven't funded or there's been no cash outflow to kind of get this number down. Am I right?
Right. So this is purely on account of the interest rate, results.
Thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Jason Sounds from Ashika Stockbroking. Please go ahead.
Sure, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, just wanted so if you could just give us some color on the demand outlook for GLE overall. So you had earlier in the analyst day as well spoken about the slowdown in the pharma segment in terms of demand order intake. So just a brief outlook I would want, especially in amid rising costs in the inflationary environment, as well as whatever is happening in Europe. Just wanted to understand what's the demand outlook for pharma and chemical, both in the end user segments.
Yeah, so as far as I'll start with India, and maybe Thomas can add on the international business. As far as India is concerned, Tarak mentioned earlier, we've been careful about selecting the right set of orders. So we've made sure that we fill our factory with the kind of orders that we like. Now, in recent times, we've started seeing a pickup of some of the large projects that we saw on the horizon, and they're starting to move forward. And in fact, one of the big order that Tarak talked about, the 80 KLs, is one such project. There's several more that are on the horizon, and we feel we're competitively placed on that. So I think from a demand perspective, especially for larger projects, we are starting to see reasonably good movement. Of course, some of the smaller projects, the run rate business, that's sort of still at a sluggish pace, but the large projects are picking up, right? And Thomas, would you like to address for the international business?
So maybe I'll kind of take that. So Jason, you're right. So like Aseem mentioned, pharma has been a bit slow, but we have seen some kind of traction, mainly in the PLI schemes that have been launched, especially in penicillin here in India. So three large orders for penicillin manufacturing fermentation that we've got. But pharma has been much, much slower. We see the main drivers for us have been the chemical industry, both agro and specialty chem, and the large projects that we speak about are also kind of for the specialty chemical kind of large projects, right? Also, what we've done now recently is we supplied the first lot of our stock and sale the vessels to Europe. So 24 equipment have been ordered in India, which will be stocked and sold in the European the facility, and will be sold when customers have a breakdown and a immediate need for a replacement. So that's worked out quite well. But generally, across the board, I think chemicals will account for nearly 60% of our total glass-lined sales, and the pharmaceutical will account for nearly about 25 to 30%.
Yeah, sure, sir. Thanks for that. One question what I would want to ask you is, we're seeing pretty good traction in the international business. So in terms of revenue growth and margin growth also, which is around 9-10%, is now moved up to 12-12.5%. And this is in the face of, an energy crisis already brewing in Europe. So just wanted to know, what are you doing different here so that, to gain such a positive performance? What are you doing differently?
So I think I'll maybe start off, and then if my German the colleagues are online, they can kind of just build on that. But we have taken some the measures. So in Germany itself, we have gone down to a 4-day work week. So we actually have less number of hours. I mean, the same number of man hours being used, so they work longer hours. But one day is additionally the factory is closed, which obviously helps us reduce our consumption of gas and energy. In terms of pricing also, we've kind of built in all these material and energy increases into our pricing, and that's also helped us. And then on top of that, we've added new businesses, small businesses through M&A, which are now showing a good amount of the turnaround and growth. and that's also helping improve profitability. The last thing that's also changed significantly is the services component, because the services component, because of the pandemic, was in a smaller, in terms of the pie, just smaller. And now we see a lot of factories opening up, and the services part of the business is actually growing. And as you would know, services is definitely more profitable than the other businesses, right? Thomas, Alex, if you're on, if you want to speak maybe a little bit about the energy situation in Germany.
Yeah, and this is Alex. Not fully sure if Thomas is in again. No, in fact, what you said, I could definitely echo this. And with regard to the energy situation in Europe, I think finally we face the increase already since end of last calendar year. It became really strange from February, March, April onwards. But nevertheless, we are even in this situation with this higher energy cost and able to increase the margin. It's partly due to the shift, just that we have a higher share of service business. But nevertheless, we were also already before focusing on some margin improvement, and this now drops through. So it currently overcompensates the energy cost increases. And now with the looking forward, that the energy costs stabilize or even they reduced in the last weeks. So we are confident that the outlook remains positive.
Thank you.
Sure. Thanks for that, sir. Then just two more simple questions. Just wanted to know the ramp-up and what about the ramp-up in the Vatva facility? And now that you have GMM has taken over the remaining 46% stake, and this is going to reflect from Q3. So are we not going to see any non-controlling interest? Just wanted
exactly.
to clarify.
Yeah, exactly. So the, I think currently 46% is removed for non-controlling, and now you see 100% accrual from Q3 onwards.
So we will not see any non-controlling interest, right, from Q2?
Yes. For non-controlling interest has been eliminated in 30th September, as on 30th September as well. So in the balance sheet and 1st October onwards, the entire profits accrue to the organization.
Right, sure.
Yeah, and as far as Vatva is concerned, you know, we're very pleased with how the site has progressed. As you know, we've taken it over, a little over 18 months ago, and since then, the ramp-up has been really to our expectations. So the site is now full. We've had a number of orders that have already been executed and shipped from there. We've, in fact, broken the record in some cases about the size of the equipment that's been shipped. So overall, we're very pleased with the way it is progressing.
Sure. Thanks. That's all from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star and one on their touchtone phone. We have the next question from the line of Saket Reddy from Polasani Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi guys. Congratulations on the good results. There's one thing in the international balance sheet, I hope, pension liability. Can you explain how it is it treated in the P&L, if it is treated in the P&L?
Sure. So, second, start off and then maybe Alex can jump in. So, typically, these are non-funded pension liabilities, primarily in Germany, and these are closed plans and no new employees are being added over. The existing employees' age is approximately 80 years. And the accounting treatment is basically the different interest, as the interest rate rise, as you were, you imagine, the present value of the future liabilities go, and that gain accrues to the OCI, the other comprehensive income. And then the balance sheet movement happens. Alex, you want to add something?
No, fully correct. In fact, what we see in the balance sheet is just that the assumption for the actual report and changes, and this is especially driven due to the change in the interest rates. As Manish already mentioned, the participants, the number of participants will reduce over time just because they pass away. The plan is closed, and now we just have changes due to the interest rates. But from the cash perspective or the impact on the income statement, no, it's no further impact.
Okay. And Tarak, now you've, I think in H1 you did around 11% margins in the international business. So, further insights on the trajectory there? Want to do maybe mid-teens or how is it looking?
Yeah, so I think the international business has already shown a strong recovery. I think both revenue growth has been significant and profit improvement as well. We are looking to fine-tune our product, the portfolio. There are definitely products that we need to bring up to the level in terms of profitability. We are working on those. We have put in a lot of effort over the last maybe few years, and we believe that some of the things that we have done will start showing results in the next few quarters. So again, the focus area to really improve margins is to really focus on services and grow that part of the business. And then obviously our non-glassline business, right? Because that's where we can really grow. We have small market shares. We have these small products which really can be global, can use the Pfaudler global network and be sold. And we are seeing a good amount of growth that will come from there as well. But all in all, I think all the product lines have done well. We also now, thanks to the new acquisitions we've made, have access to new industries, right? So I did speak about some of this in the past, but we've kind of sold products now to, meat companies that make plant-based meat. We've sold products to, the bio, the plastics. We've also made inroads in the metals and minerals in terms of also power. We've had a large order here in India. So all in all, I think in spite of the investment that's going on in our core industry, which is chemical and pharma, we are also trying to move into new industries that will help us kind of diversify and make sure that our growth is on track.
And my last question on the services part. So I look at your revenue breakup and also the order intake breakup. In the standalone business, services is pretty low compared to international. So it's in low single digits, low to mid single digits, whereas the international business it's around 30 or 40%. You look at revenue or order intake. So why such heavy divergence?
Yeah, Saket,
services is the high margin product.
Right. Saket, you're right. So this is definitely an area of focus for us. Historically, the service customer behavior in the Europe and the US has been different relative to India in terms of, the amount of service that they'll expect from the OEM. Having said that, we recognize that, single digit service as a percent of our business is low, and that's certainly an area of focus for us. In fact, just this quarter, we have made some changes to our organization and appointed a service leader in the India business, which is, very similar to how the international business also runs it. And so I expect that with the focus that this individual will bring, we'll start to see an improvement here. In fact, we're already seeing it, and it's really about, the approach to our customers, the analysis of our installed base, our service offerings, the appropriate pricing, etc. All of those actions are now underway. So it's certainly an area of opportunity for us, and we are working on it.
Right. And just one last question on the shareholding. I think you've completed GMM International acquisition. So now, how would the shareholding structure look like? I think Patel family has 24%, and the rest of the promoters' stake would be with DBAG. Is that correct?
Yeah, DB owns the balance 31% as of now, and the balance is on the shareholding.
So just to add to that, Saket, the Patel family has increased our stake. We were around 22 point something. Now we are at 24.2 through the pref allotment that we recently did. So our stake has gone up. And the balance is with the public, out of which I think 18%, if I'm not mistaken, Priyanka, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong,
yeah,
is with FPIs. And we have mutual funds about 5, 6%. And then obviously all the other institutions and public.
Right. And DBAG is committed to stay with you. Is that right?
So when we did this transaction, we have signed a contract and an agreement where they have a 3-year lock-in. and they are committed to the business.
Right. Yeah, so that will be it from my side. So thank you and all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from the line of Venkatesh Balasubramaniam from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I had a couple of follow-up questions. Now, if I just look at the India business of glass-lined equipment, and I actually look at the business of one of your largest competitors here, HLE Glasscoat, if you notice over the last 1.5-2 years, when you have been busy in consummating the Pfaudler Inc. acquisition, HLE Glasscoat has grown at a much faster pace than your glass line equipment in the India part. So, have you been losing market share in India? And is this a cause of concern? Because I also observed that HLE Glasscoat, on an average, their India business makes almost 400 basis points lower margins than you. So has this key competitor been cutting prices and picking up orders? And is this something that you worry about? This is the first question.
Yeah, so let me address this. So look, I obviously can't comment on another business's performance. What I would say is, we always are, glass-lined is obviously our largest business, and this is an area that we have been a leader in, and we intend to remain a leader in. As we outlined earlier, we are going to, we've always been careful about the orders that we use to fill our factory with, and we'll continue to do that. So we are quite satisfied with the performance of our glass line business. Our Hyderabad factory is also now ramped up nicely. And so we have used our capacity to satisfy the right kind of customer needs, including some of the export orders that we've started to, ramp up on.
Okay. What exactly is your capacity in terms of equivalent units currently in India?
With this new furnace that we have now commissioned, we should be up to about 2,900 to 3,000 EUs per year.
Okay. And what kind of utilizations are you currently at?
So I think in terms of utilization, I think both the Karamsad and Hyderabad facility are close to 80-90% utilization. Obviously now with this new furnace that has just come in the Karamsad, obviously that number will drop. So we are at pretty much very high utilizations across all our plants in terms of the glass line business, where we have very large backlogs.
Okay. Now, just one last question from me. I think this question was asked, I just put it across in a slightly different way. Now, obviously, the continent of Europe is under severe stress. I mean, what with the war, inflation, energy prices going through the roof, and the kind of news which we keep reading in terms of end industries, a lot of industries shutting down, things like that. Now, are your customers basically in the chemical industries and the pharma industries, are they having any of these companies, are they having stress? And if they are having, are under stress, how come it is not impacting your numbers? So what exactly is the key driver for this very good growth? Because I think almost 39-40% of your consolidated numbers comes from Europe. So some color on that would be very helpful.
Yeah, so I think some of the news that we get here obviously, maybe gets blown up a little bit. And I think there's also a lot of the posturing that happens. But on the ground, what we are seeing today is that customers are finalizing new orders. New factories are being set up. I'll just, to give you an example, I think one of our companies, the Swiss subsidiary, is actually finalizing an order with maybe Lonza, if I'm not mistaken, which is going to be delivered 2.5 years from now, right? So people have that long-term visibility. People don't even need it, immediately, and they're willing to wait. But the order book that we have gives us a lot of the comfort, right? So that the next 6 months, 9 months in different regions, we already have orders on hand and our focus really shifts to the execution, right? Are we seeing anything on the ground that tells us that, you know, things are going to slow down, things are not looking that bright? I don't think we're seeing any of that right now. The opportunity levels, the interest levels, the inquiries that do continue to flow in are of pretty much the same the level. The only thing that we probably see now is that the time it takes to finalize something is slightly longer than earlier. People may take a few months more. That's really the only the difference that we see. And just the coming back to India, again, like I mentioned, chemical has a lot of new projects. You know, obviously, we work with a host of the chemical companies, and many of them are and have plans to expand further and invest more and more in terms of building new facilities. And obviously, being a major supplier to the chemical, we will definitely benefit from that.
Thanks a lot. All the very best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshal from AUM Fund. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, Harshal, go ahead.
Yeah. So from what I'm hearing is in Germany, the government is aiding companies which are, keeping their plant shut. So are we receiving any kind of incentives from the government?
No, nothing right now, but the government and what we hear, especially in Germany, there could be a bailout, the package, there could be a kind of a program where the government will step in and help some of the companies who are facing a lot of pricing issues and production issues, but nothing that we have seen. Like I mentioned earlier and what Alex said as well, is that we're actually seeing the prices now stabilize, energy costs have stabilized, and in the last few weeks have also come down. So we are, you know, we kind of believe that we are actually past the highest levels. So anything further improvement will only be, you know, will have a good impact on the rest of the year as well.
Okay. Okay. What I wanted to understand is there any kind of government subsidy in our margins, which is
no.
Why we are getting kind of, you know, 12-13% margin?
No, subsidy.
No. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next follow-up question from the line of Tanaya from Marcellus Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
So you had said that on the international business front, you had several new smaller businesses which are showing good traction apart from your glass lined equipment bit. Could you just kind of get into a little bit more detail on that? And related to that, the next question, you know, you have tech services systems. Technologies, obviously, you have been world number one for ages. How do you see growth in systems specifically, not services that you went into detail about, but growth in the systems business and international front, which new businesses are you know, kind of driving your traction?
Right. So I think maybe let me just kind of take you through what we have in our the portfolio. So obviously, you know, we have two new acquisitions that we made. Hydro Air is obviously in membrane separation, the technologies. That business is about $8 million dollars or so. We expect to kind of double all that, you know, at least double that business in the short term. So they are doing a lot of nice and interesting work that will help us not only internationally, but also here in India. They do a lot of work in bioplastics, in biomeats, proteins. EVs and things like that. So it opens up a whole new industry segment for us. So that's where we believe our growth will come from. Having said that, they already have a strong foothold in chemical and pharmaceuticals, so it's definitely a complementary product. The other product that has done exceedingly well is a product called InterSeal, which is the, you know, the sealing technologies that we've launched here in India as well. They recently won a very large order, about $2 million worth of business with a large the German customer. And in India also, we are finding that there are a lot of interest, and we've also got orders, I think, if I'm not mistaken, around the 20 seals or so has been sold in India. So again, a small business that was about $3 million is now trading around maybe $10, $11 million. So we've grown that business in a very short period of time. Mm-hmm. Besides that, we also have some of smaller businesses. They are not brands per se, but these businesses are small and they grow quite quickly. They're quite profitable as well. So, you know, we have plans on growing those businesses as well. And in terms of the system business, I think that has done quite well. I did mention to you in the last quarter call that we received our second asset recovery order here, around 20 crores plus. From a power company, right? So this power company, they currently has sulfur that they actually, it goes into the air, which they now want to convert into sulfuric acid, and bought a large chunk of that project because it's also kind of, it kind of brings into the glass line equipment space as well. So the systems also remains an important part. That's where we really kind of move up the value chain. And, you know, since we offer process know-how and technology, we can definitely command much better margins. I think Asim maybe wants to add something to that.
Yeah, so just on this last example that Tarak talked about the asset recovery, I'll add a little more color to it. So this is a very interesting space because it's essentially a flue gas desulfurization application, which is essentially the smoke coming out of smokestacks is cleaned through scrubbers. And, you know, it basically creates sulfuric acid, which is weak, and then that's where GMM Pfaudler comes in, and we actually help them concentrate that weak sulfuric acid into concentrated sulfuric acid, which can actually then be used. So this is an interesting application. It has the potential to scale. Of course, you know, in India, it's just starting off, but we are pretty excited about the possibilities and what GMM Pfaudler has to offer. You know, Tarak's talked about some of the other businesses around the bio meat, you know, the plant-based meat, etc. That too is now new to GMM Pfaudler through the HydroAir acquisition, but you know, we see potential to scale that up reasonably quickly as well. So all in all, we have a portfolio now where you know, we think we have a number of interesting bets that play on macro trends, and you know, we believe we should take them forward. One sec, Tarak, just want to add something.
Yeah, so just to build on that, I think we have some ideas in terms of how do we further enhance our the portfolio as well. You know, like I mentioned to you, there are certain businesses that don't fit that well and new businesses that fit the better. So we are always looking at opportunities. And I think that's going to be the cornerstone of our growth strategy as well. I think M&A is going to be a very important part of our growth strategy. And we always have interest in increasing and improving our the portfolio.
Right. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rohit from Progressive Shares. Please go ahead.
Hi, Tarak. Two questions. First one is a follow-up. When you mentioned that there are certain businesses which don't fit the entire system that well, it reminds me of Edlon and its divestment. So any update on that?
Right. So, Rohit, hi. Yes, Edlon was up for sale. The process is still ongoing. However, while this process has been ongoing, Edlon has done quite well. They have a large order backlog, and their profitability has also kind of improved significantly. So we are still reviewing and we're still working on that. When we have an update on Edlon, we will definitely let you know.
Okay. My second question is related to Mixion Industrial Paints and the developments that you are doing with Heiji as well as Mavaxphere. If you can just take us through numbers in terms of rupee million of roles.
So I think Mixion is a business that has seen significant growth and will continue to see a significant growth. It's a complementary product because it's mixing. It's used in the same industries that we cater to. We can use mixing in the glass-lined business as well. It's very complementary. We really like that business. It's quite profitable as well. And recently we've had major breakthroughs, like I've mentioned, not only in the historic chemical and pharmaceutical industries, but we've got into fermentation, we've got into metals and minerals, we've got into paints. And I think, you know, I can confidently say that today in India, we would probably be the biggest mixing player in the market, right? So Mixion is definitely a focus area for us. You know, growing this business not only here in India, but internationally as well. And we do need to probably look at building the resources and capabilities. But this business on a long-term view is something to be very excited about.
Tarak, in today's world, currently, approximately, what percent of turnover is coming from Mixion?
In India, I think last year we did about 60 odd crores of revenue. This year should be twice as much, right? So we have a very large order backlog. The business is doubling in size, if not more. And we wish to really grow this business and become a large player in this space.
And on the international front?
International front, mixing is something that is quite small. We don't export a lot of these mixers. We have sold some to Europe and the US, but again, having a strong footprint in international business, we would probably need to have a little bit of local manufacturing as well. And that's where probably an M&A opportunity, if it were to come up, would be very interesting for us. But mixing is something that definitely is on top of our minds right now. How do we grow this business and how do we become a relevant player in this market?
Okay, Tarak, that helps quite a lot. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ruth.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of K. Ramesh Achar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Please proceed.
Yeah, there was a talk about relocation of your Hyderabad facility some 2-3 quarters back, and we haven't heard anything further. Can I know, and what's the position now?
Yeah, so the Hyderabad facility right now, there is no plan on a relocation. The Hyderabad plant, we've just invested and commissioned a brand new the furnace. We are also renovating some of the factory shed. But our thought was that when Pharma City were to come up, we would then ask the government for land in Pharma City so we could be close, obviously, to the industry that we cater to. As of now, there is no plan in place to move. And when Pharma City were to be available, we would definitely like to look at that as an alternative production facility.
Okay. Thanks. That answers my question.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from the line of Jason Soans from Ashika Stockbroking. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for giving me the opportunity again. Just wanted to know, in terms of margins and standalone results, we have seen quite a sharp dip from 25% around margins last year. Now they're at around 16.4%. Just wanted to know from you, what were the reasons for the same? One would probably be the higher steel prices and the higher cost of inventory which you've been holding. But some other reasons, the Vatva ramp up is, you'll have lesser margins than a GL equipment, obviously, so the product mix also has an impact on that. Just wanted some color on that, the margin dip.
Yeah, Jason, I'll take this. Yeah. I'll take it first, and perhaps you can
Please.
So I think first of all, the basis for comparison this year is a little unfortunate. Last year this time we were really benefiting from the strong tailwinds, and we were achieving close to 25% EBITDA. That was quite abnormal. So really the right, but and as Manish mentioned earlier, a year later now we are seeing the opposite effect of the high commodity prices affecting us. I think so that's probably the biggest factor, the commodity prices that have brought us down. Yes, you also identified the second factor around product mix. That's something that was not unexpected. So as we've scaled up and some of the Equilor kind of business is probably not as high margin as our traditional business. But these are things that we are addressing, and we are confident that, as we continue our sales strategy around being selective around orders, we will be able to get back on track. Manish gave an outlook for the rest of the year already, where we expect to see a continued improvement in margins in the standalone business. So we feel pretty comfortable that we're on track to do that.
So yes, Manish did give an outlook for the margins. So in terms of margins, probably you'll be looking at an effect from the standalone entity, and probably international margins, we can at least expect them to be steady state from here on.
Yeah, I think that's broadly what we expect.
Yeah.
Right.
And just one thing, just in the presentation, there is a statement mentioning backlog is net of POC. Just wanted some clarification on this POC concept, if possible.
Sure, Jason. So, what happened is...
Sorry to interrupt. I mean, for the... I think we're out of time, but maybe you can take this up separately offline with him, because that concept itself will be kind of long and, you know, you'll have to explain it.
Sure, Jason, we can connect offline and take this off, right?
Sure. Thanks.
Perfect.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, everybody, for participating in our earnings call today. And we look forward to meet you again in the next quarter. Thank you and good night.
Thank you. On behalf of GMM Pfaudler Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.